Well, first of all, guys, I wanted to just to say thank you to the pastors and the elders of the church for allowing me to come back and share God's word again. And hopefully there'll be many more if I do a good job tonight. No guarantees, but you could see, but the Holy Spirit's here. That's all I know. Amen. Amen. So I titled my sermon, Christ, the Reason for the Season. But before we go there, I just wanted to open up in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for all of those that are here tonight, Lord. And I thank you for the hearts that you've prepared to receive your word. It's not about me, Lord God. It's all about you. To you, get all the glory and honor, Lord, for what you're doing in this house. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's warriors say, amen. Amen. So I'm going to be teaching tonight on Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 38. But before I go there, I'm going to paraphrase real quick through Luke chapter 1 just to kind of get us to where we are in Luke chapter 2, verse 20. So during this time, King Herod was the king. There was a great famine in the land. There was the miracle conception of Zacharias and Elizabeth, where she became pregnant at 80 years of age. And then there was also the miracle conception where the angel of the Lord spoke to Mary, and she received what he had to say, and she too became expectant. And it says in the scriptures that Elizabeth was about 6 months pregnant when Mary conceived. And then we have the miracle where the angel had came and met Joseph. Joseph, at first, didn't believe what was said about Mary. And he's like, how can you be pregnant? Like, you're a virgin. I mean, I would have said the same thing. It would have taken an angel of the Lord to convince me, amen. just being real. I mean, put yourself in Joseph's shoes if your wife would have came to you and said. There was also a thing, me and my son Daniel, we have a thing that we do around the house, and we call it a fun fact, and he's super smart, so he always had something really smart and intelligent to say. So as I was preparing for the word this evening, I was reading through different commentaries, and I found that King Herod at the time when he was ruling during this chapter of Luke chapter 1 through chapter 2, and what we also know more as the Christmas story, that he was such a notorious ruler that he also had a reputation for killing his wives and his offspring. He had such a bad reputation that there was a saying at the time that they said that it was better to be his pig than to be one of his children. And it was something I learned for the first time today, so I just thought I'd share that. But here we go in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 38. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. The girls will have the scriptures up on the screen. They do such a great job every week. So let's read. It says, and when the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by an angel before the Lord, before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, in verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout. There's another definition for the word devout, and it means loyal, just to kind of give you an idea of who Simeon is. But he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to him according to do the custom of the law, verse 28, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And our last verse is, and coming up in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who look forward to redemption in Jerusalem. Are you guys all still with me? I know that was a lot of scripture to go over. Okay. So tonight, I'd like to look at Simeon. You see, while they were not present at Jesus' birth, but they waited with great anticipation and expectation for that day to arrive. Now, none of us are very good at waiting. If you're like me, I just don't like to wait. I remember when the first IBM personal computer came out, and it took several minutes for this computer to load, and I remember saying, wow, look at how fast that is. I know I'm dating myself, but it's okay. But we marveled at the speed. But now, if it takes more than 10 seconds for our computer to turn on, we're pounding on the keyboard wanting to know what's taking so long. I know my wife and I have that discussion several times. We have a home office, and when we have computer problems and things are slow, it's very frustrating. But my point being is that it's hard to wait, isn't it? And it's especially hard to wait for God. I've come to realize that while we're always in a hurry, God isn't. We want things to happen now, if not sooner, but God, however, takes his own time. I've heard some people say that they've waited long enough for God, and they don't see anything good coming out of the waiting. You see, a friend of mine is waiting to see if chemotherapy or radiation is going to work to stop his cancer. Some of us may be waiting for news that may dramatically impact our future. Some of us may have been just let go from a job, or maybe we've applied for a new job, but we're waiting for that job application to go through. Some are waiting for prayers to be answered. I know I pray all the time, but I think that sometimes we're waiting for God to answer our prayers in the way that we think that he should answer them. But while this waiting is difficult, we need to realize that God is working out his perfect will through the waiting process. Give the Lord a clap offering. To him is the glory. Let's take, for instance, the miracle of childbirth. Now, there's nothing quite like waiting for the arrival of a new baby, unless you're the dad and you got to sit across the room somewhere, because I remember when my wife was giving birth to our youngest, I was trying to watch the Laker playoff game. Not a very good thing to do in the delivery room. I'm telling you, we'll just leave that at home for later. But even while the expectant mother waits, God is at work forming and shaping the child in the mother's womb. So conception is the promise. Delivery and birth are the fulfillment of that promise. But between the promise and the fulfillment, there are months of waiting, expecting, along with months of discomfort, uncertainty, and sometimes even anxiety. Waiting is hard, and frankly, none of us are very good at it. I know I'm not. But we do a lot of waiting this time of year. We wait in checkout lines at Target or wherever we may be doing our shopping. There you go, the pharmacy, because a lot of people are sick. Or waiting to find a closer parking spot. Now, I'm going to share a little story here. My uncle and I were given the task on Thanksgiving to go to the store and get the Thanksgiving Day apple pie and pumpkin pie. And, you know, we were given the task way ahead of time, but you know how men are. We wait for the last minute to do things. So it was easier for my uncle to get out of the truck, go into the only Stater Brothers that's open on Thanksgiving, no other stores open. It was easier and quicker for him to get out of the truck, go inside, and come back while I drove around in a circle, and never did I find a parking spot. Some of us tonight might be waiting for a Christmas bonus. A lot of companies have their Christmas parties this time of year. We had ours last weekend, but some may be having theirs tomorrow, and maybe they're hoping they get a bonus this year. And our young ones can hardly wait for Christmas. If you're one of the kids in my house, my wife and I are very selective as to when we actually put the gifts under the tree, because the minute we do, our sons and daughters are shaking the gifts and, oh, I can unwrap this thing and wrap it back up and nobody ever know. So we have to be careful at what time we put these Christmas presents under the tree. But before I go any further with what the Lord has put in my heart to speak about tonight, I'm going to just ask a few questions. And the first thing that I want you guys to think about is, what are you waiting for this Christmas? What are you expecting to receive, maybe? Are you looking forward to anything special this Christmas? Our pastor, Denise, she gave a message a couple weeks ago, and I just wanted to give you guys something to ponder for a moment. You see, in Luke's gospel, we come across two people who make their appearance in the final act of what I like to call the Christmas story. One is a man named Simeon, and the other is a woman named Anna. You see, they don't appear in any nativity scenes, and I'm going to date myself because I've got one of those old nativity scenes that are underneath my tree that they don't even make anymore, and you got Mary and Joseph and all the wise men in there, but you're not going to see Simeon and Anna in that story. In fact, you're not going to see them on any Christmas cards for that matter. But they are significant players in our Christmas story. You see, both of these individuals were waiting with great anticipation that they would see the coming Messiah. But the promise and the fulfillment were far apart. And so they waited, looking forward to God's promise of redemption. And while they were both waiting for their Messiah, I believe that they were both waiting for two different aspects of their coming. So Simeon, I believe, was waiting for comfort. Well, you say, why would you say that, Steve? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you anyway. I figured I've got you guys here, and whether you wanted to hear or not, you're going to hear it. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it says this. It says, "And behold, There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So anytime that I'm getting in the Word, especially when I'm getting in the Word, preparing a message, I'm nosy. So I have to ask myself, why? Why was Simeon waiting? Well, because the scripture says that he was promised that he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah. So Simeon was comforted, waiting for the Comforter. I know that some of you may be questioning my use of the name Comforter, because Jesus clearly called the Holy Spirit the Comforter. But listen to what Jesus said. I'm going to turn my Bible to John chapter 14, verse 16, which reads this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But that's not what I planned to say, but the Lord had that for you. Amen. It was supposed to be John 14, 16, but I said John 14, 6. But I'll read John 14, 16, and it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." The word another in the Greek language means another of the same kind. You see, Jesus is describing himself as the Comforter, and after he leaves, he's asking the Father to send another Comforter, and that Comforter is the Holy Spirit. I just want to make sure that we're clear on that. You see, we have to remember, I paraphrase and I touched on it a little bit when I was opening up, but at this time, things weren't going very well for the nation of Israel. They hadn't heard from God in a very long time. It had been over 400 years, and they were subjected to the rule and reign of the Roman Empire. Pastor Ken touched on that when he preached a few weeks ago, and what a beautiful sermon that was. You see, Simeon, therefore, was waiting for the consolation of Israel, which we can translate as Israel's comforter. The word consolation is a noun defined as a person or thing providing comfort to a person. The last time I was up here, then I got to speak, I mentioned how I like to use Webster's Dictionary a lot, but this time I use Mr. Oxford, and he's just doing fine. So you see, Simeon's expectation focused on the comfort that only Christ the Messiah would bring. The desire to be comforted is a universal need. We all struggle with some type of loneliness or emptiness, and even sometimes insecurity. You see, in fact, the Christmas season is one of our major crisis times of the year for depression and in some circumstances even suicide. It's the leading contributor to stress and anxiety. But before I go any further, if there's anybody here that's dealing with any thoughts like that, please reach out to your pastors, get some help, and get some prayer too. Amen. So, as Simeon was waiting, he was moved by the Holy Spirit, the scripture says, to go into the temple courts at the time when Joseph and Mary were bringing Jesus to offer the necessary sacrifice under the law for the birth of a first male child. So I had no idea what they were really saying there, but because of my brain and I'm so nosy, I had to figure out what it is that they were talking about. So what I found was in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, I'll read there real quick just so that we understand exactly what Mary and Joseph were doing. It reads this. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. As it is in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. Verse 3. And on the eighth day, the flesh of the foreskin shall be circumcised. That's what Simeon is getting ready to do now. Verse 4 says, she shall then continue in the blood of her impurity 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her impurification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as it is in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. Bear with me, verse 6. When the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meetings. Then the Lord shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has borne a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring two turtle doves or two pigeons, one as a burnt offering, the other as a sin offering, so the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. Are you guys with me? All right. So when Simeon saw Jesus, he knew that God's promise had been kept. Here was Emmanuel, in which means God with us, to make everything right, to bring to comfort those subjected to years of rejection, fear, and loneliness. Look to your neighbor and say, Emmanuel, God is with us. Now look to your other neighbor and say, Emmanuel, God is still with us. Amen. So Simeon, it says, then he reached down and took Jesus out of Mary's arms and began to, what does the scripture say? Praise God. In our scripture here, it says, oh, that's on Leviticus. We're back to Luke chapter 2, which reads that, So Simeon reached down and took Jesus out of Mary's arms and began to praise God, acknowledging that God did not only fulfill the individual promise to him, but also the promise of the prophets to send the anointed one to comfort both the Jews and the Gentiles. So in the New King James, it reads, to give thanks to God, to give praise to God is the same term. It would be Luke 2. Let me go back there. Yeah. 25. Yes. 20. Yeah, there you go. So going back to the scripture at hand, it says that he began to praise God. It's exactly what Pastor Dennis was preaching the other day when he was here in church. He was preaching about how he just had that hallelujah praise for God. And when Denise was up sharing, she had mentioned that when she was, I believe, preparing for her word, and she would walk by the room and Pastor would be in there just by himself worshiping God. Now, that stuck with me because when I started to read this scripture and that word praise started coming out at me, I thought of our pastor and I thought, what a blessing it is to serve under a pastor that cares nothing about anything else but to praise God. So going back, So the next person that I wanted to talk about was Anna for a moment. So Anna was waiting in anticipation. You see, after her husband had died, she dedicated herself to fasting and praying in the temple, waiting for the Messiah who would bring Israel's redemption. In Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 37, it reads this really quick. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Verse 38, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who looked for their redemption in Jerusalem. So, you see, this is huge right here. So I want you guys to get this. So, you see, Anna could have been bitter after losing her husband. But instead, she became better and she blessed. I'll say that again. Anna could have been bitter after losing her husband, but instead, she became better and blessed. Rather than becoming old in fatigue, in fact, she kept such a high degree of vitality and spirituality that she was chosen singularly of all women to be the prophetess who recognized Jesus as the Messiah. So once again, I ask myself, why? But I believe the scripture gives us these three reasons this evening. The first one being that Anna prayed to the Lord. Instead of being discontent for her loss, she used her single state as an opportunity to serve God wholeheartedly. The second thing is, Anna looked for the Lord like Simeon. She lived in anticipation for his coming. The third thing is that Anna talked about the Lord. Not only did she worship like Simeon, but she spoke of him to all that looked for redemption. So the word redemption is related to the idea of captivity, Passover, and the release of Israel from Egyptian slavery, stood as the ultimate redemption and was symbolic of God's power to release captives. Ultimately, Passover pointed ahead to the day when God would provide deliverance from slavery of sin. You see, when Anna saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were waiting for their redemption. So I know that I've said redemption several times, and I know that most of you here know that I am a demolition contractor. And what I do is I'm hired by different clients to go into buildings and remove a lot of the old so that they can bring in the new. So a lot of what I do is when I'm going into an old restaurant, we completely remove all of the kitchen equipment, you know, copper, wiring. And these things have redemption value. We take them, we sort them, and we go to the scrapyard and we're paid a price depending on the condition of the material. But when I was studying for this, and I keep hearing this word redemption, I thought of us here, church. How many of us here believe that you have redemption value also? In fact, Jesus Christ paid the highest price for us. He sent his son to die for us so that we can be redeemed. Here at last is the one who would save us from our sins. You see, when Jesus came, he provided the very things that Simeon and Anna were waiting for, which is God's comfort, God's forgiveness, and God's redemption. So what are you waiting for this Christmas? You see, some of us can identify with Simeon. Maybe we feel lonely, empty, afraid, even maxed out. Maybe we need some comforting and a fresh sense of God's presence. And you can find it, church. You can find it in Jesus. He came to console and bring us comfort right where we're at. Or maybe we can identify more with Anna. Maybe some of us are really hurting this evening. Maybe we're plagued with guilt this Christmas because of something that we've done or a way that we've been living. Maybe we feel trapped in a pattern of sin. You see, I can relate to Anna because, unlike Anna, I became bitter. I sat in church for a year holding on to bitterness, and because I was holding on to that bitterness, it was preventing me from being blessed and preventing me from being a blessing. I like when Pastor Ricardo was up here and he gave that message about throwing in the towel and how Jesus would pick it back up again and say, I'm not done with you, and wipe your face. And we had another preacher that came in and she spoke about making a U-turn for Christ. You know, you're going the wrong way, you're going the wrong way. But I was that Christian that sat there and said, I didn't want to listen. How many of us know that sometimes Jesus will leave you right where you're at so that you can become better, so that you can become blessed, so that you can become a blessing? So no matter what we're waiting for, there are three things that the girls are going to put up on the screen now that I find in these two stories that will help you experience God's comfort, forgiveness, and redemption this Christmas. The first thing would be to approach Christmas with wonder. You see, after Mary and Joseph's encounter with Simeon, look at what the scripture says in Luke chapter 2, verse 33. It says this, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things that were spoken of him. To marvel means to be filled with wonder and astonishment. Are we in wonder of God during this time of year? Or are we caught up in the busyness and the stress of the season? Pastor Pete preached a good sermon last Thursday, and he talked about being in that boat and how all this stuff is going on around us, and we're so consumed about everything that's happening around us that we take our eyes off of our Savior that's in the same boat that we're in. Is Christmas just another holiday? Or are you going to make it a holy day this year? Maybe Christmas has become too familiar for us this year. Maybe it no longer holds us in awe. You see, Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven to become a human child born in a stable and laid in an animal's trough for all of us who receives him. Are you going to receive him this year? You see, Christmas can be a dangerous time of year for Christians. And you're going to ask, why in the world would you say a thing like that, Steve? But I'm glad that you're here listening, because I'm about to tell you anyway. You see, it's because our annual celebration can begin to immunize us to the reality of what the true reason for the season is. You see, we all see these Christmas specials talking about the miracle of Christmas on TV while leaving Jesus Christ out of the entire discussion. But to help put the wonder back into Christmas, let's take a moment and put yourself in the place of one of the characters in our Christmas story. How would you feel, and what awe would it bring if you were Joseph and you saw the heavenly angel come down and speak to you directly? How would that make you feel? Or what if you were Simeon after waiting so long? here it is. The Bible says that he took the baby. He took baby Jesus out of Mary's arms. He's holding the Savior of the world in his arms. How would you feel if you were him? Or what if you were one of the wise men that went on a long journey of faith to find truth? Because I believe that if you do, I truly believe it, that you will begin to approach Christmas with a new wonder and awe. In Luke chapter 2, verse 27, it says, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. Well, who's he? He was Simeon. In verse 38, it says what, church? It says that Anna was coming in an instant, but it doesn't say her name. It says Anne coming in that instant, she. Anna was coming at that very moment, the NIV reads. But both Simon and Anna were directed and moved by the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit said to go to the temple. Neither of them just waited, they went, they moved. This is actually the entire story of our Christmas story. When Joseph and Mary were prompted, they responded, they went, the wise men went. It's like our pastors, Dennis and Denise, they were led, they said, let the Spirit lead. And they were led by the Spirit because God prompted them to do something. What is God prompting you to do this evening? Because when God prompts you to do something, you need to do it. Because it may mean salvation for you or for others. It may involve becoming a servant and serving others as we're serving the Lord. But whatever it is, don't procrastinate, because you may miss out on God's Christmas miracle for you. But not all promptings are going to be joy-filled. For some, it's dealing with some difficult situations, and I've had some difficult situations myself this year. But consider what Simeon told Mary in Luke chapter 2, verse 34. It reads this, 34 through 35. It says, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He said the child was destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. I don't know about you, but this doesn't sound like a joyful Christmas greeting. It's no Merry Christmas. It's no Happy New Year, and it never will be as long as we avoid the reason for the season. You see, Christmas forces us to make a decision about Jesus. Jesus is either the rock that we stand upon that I preached on before, or he's the rock that we stumble over. You see, we cannot stay neutral when it comes to Jesus. He doesn't let us. He says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather me scatters abroad. Now, I don't know about you, church, but in my Bible, that's written in red. So it came straight from the Lord himself. So we're either allowing the Holy Spirit to move us closer to God this evening, or we're going to allow the critics and the things of the world to move us further away. So the third thing that I wanted to focus on this evening was praise Christ this Christmas. In the New King James, in Luke chapter 2, verse 38, it says, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for forward to redemption in Jerusalem. When we approach Christmas with wonder and allow the Holy Spirit to move us, then we can do nothing less than to bring praise to Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas, the true reason for the season. When I think of this, I think of the story of Mary and Martha. You see, Martha was so busy doing the stuff that she missed out on what was most important, and that was sitting at the feet of her, where her sister Mary was. So let's be careful not to let the busyness of Christmas replace what the true reason of the celebration is. Let us take every moment we have to praise Jesus, our comforter and forgiver. For you see, the greatest gift in the tree is all wrapped up in the Son. I'm going to close with this. The message is the same this Christmas. Because of the Father's love, whoever takes his Son gets it all. Will you take his Son this Christmas? Thank you for allowing me to share.